of the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio. Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for joining us here on AFR. I am Tim Wildman. We'll be here for the next hour and 25 minutes. Walker Wildman is with me. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Glad to be here today.
Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us from Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. And Fred's here. Fred Jackson.
Yep. Good to be here.
Start the program off on a somber note because overnight there was a
tornado.
Devastating.
Yes.
Tornado in
Jefferson City, Missouri, the capital of that state. The good news up front, no reports of death yet. But as far as physical damage goes, we're just watching the latest pictures from Jeff City. And it looks, some areas of Jefferson City look like it was hit by a bomb. That's the only way to put it. Tremendous damage there. The governor of the state already toured there this morning. He's shocked by what he is seeing. So just as we were talking about earlier this week, Tornado Alley, that's part of it right there that goes up through Oklahoma, through Missouri, parts of Kansas. They get hit somewhere along the way every year. And last night it was Jeff City, but a lot of damage. But as I say, so far as Jeff City is concerned, there is no reports of anybody being killed. In Eldon, which is about 20 miles southwest of Jeff City, they are reporting just in the last few minutes some injuries there. That area was also affected by the tornado that went through there overnight.
Did that come anywhere near you, Ray?
You know, that's about 150 miles east of where we are here in Kansas City. And I read that there have been 30 reported tornadoes this week, which is terrifying if you think about it, counting Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and now Missouri. But by far, the worst was Jefferson City. And Tim, I was thinking about this. It's one thing to imagine a tornado coming, say, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon while it's still light. This is a tornado that touched down at 11:45 p.m., just before midnight. People are asleep. Mm-hmm. There, you know, it's dark outside. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you hear the tornado sirens and you look outside and you don't know if the tornado is to my left, to my right, ahead of me, behind mm-hmm. me? That's really a terrifying situation.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you just got to take those warnings seriously. Mm-hmm. I know I'm guilty, you know, in the past of 2 a.m, you know, and the sirens go off. Mm-hmm. You get up and what do?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Where do you go? What do you do? Mm-hmm. And if you, quite frankly, if you live in a part of the country that tornadoes are in frequently and you get the warnings or you get the watches frequently, you do get a little, mm-hmm. you know, laissez-faire, as they say. But anyway, well, thank the Lord that at least thus far there's no loss of life being reported, which is a testament. Well, we just thank the Lord, mm-hmm. but also the modern-day weather warning
yes.
yeah. systems that are out there, Walker, with the Doppler radar.
Sure.
The
notifications on your phone.
Notifications on your phone, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I know I get the Weather Channel app, like many of you probably, or some sort of app, and they'll send you a buzz that you can hear even in your sleep if you get...
Yes. Yeah. The National Weather Service has the emergency alert system, which comes directly to your phone. And it, like you said, it does the loud buzzing. And so a lot of people, if the National Weather Service is aware of a tornado, they can do that in a certain area and give people a heads up.
Yeah. All right, Fred, next story.
You know, 24 hours ago when we started the program yesterday, and you asked me what's going on today, I said, well, very shortly, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are going to head over to the White House as a follow-up meeting to something that happened 3 weeks ago. Remember, Chuck and Nancy came out in front of the White House. They had a great meeting with the president, talking about infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I wish I was a fly on the wall yesterday when those two people did go back to the White House. It was a very short meeting, let me put it that way. Because before going over to the White House, Nancy Pelosi went before the microphones and basically said, you know, I just had a meeting with some Democrats. We're talking more and more about impeaching the president because, she said, the president is involved with a cover-up. Now, she didn't say we think. She said the president is involved with a cover-up. He's hiding from the American people, from Democrats, something he did wrong. I mean, if you say he's involved with a cover-up, then what's the crime? You know, it was really interesting, and I'm going to play you some more reaction in just a second. It was really interesting. There was a Democrat congresswoman that was interviewed this morning on Fox, and she was asked, okay, if there's a cover-up, what is it? The congresswoman said, Democrat from Pennsylvania, I don't know. Honestly, that was her response.
There you have it.
I don't know.
But there was one.
But yeah. Nancy said before That's going right. over. Okay, so what happens? Nancy and Chuck go over to the White House. They sit down in the conference room there. And the president walks out, according to testimony from Kellyanne Conway, who was there, one of his spokesmen. President walks out, does not sit down, and says, basically, you're accusing me, I'm paraphrasing here, you're accusing me of doing something wrong. An impeachable offense. You just went on network
right.
television,
right.
told the world that I'm covering up something.
Right.
All right? So he said, we can't do two things. We can't talk about infrastructure and doing these projects to help the American people while you're accusing me of some kind of criminal activity. And then he walked out. And then he went out to the Rose Garden and he explained to the American people what was going on. So let me first play you a bit of a montage of everything that was said by Pelosi, Trump, and Schumer yesterday, just to give you a flavor of that. Then I'll give you some reaction to it. Cut number 10, Brent.
We believe that the president of the United States is engaged in a cover-up.
Instead of walking in happily into a meeting, I walk in to look at people that had just said that I was doing a cover-up. I don't do cover-ups.
To watch what happened in the White House would make your jaw drop. We were interested, we are interested in doing infrastructure. It's clear the president isn't.
I want to do infrastructure. I want to do it more than you want to do it. I'd be really good at that. That's what I do. But you know what? You can't do it under these circumstances.
In any event, I pray for the president of the United States.
By the way, the president tweeted back to Nancy Pelosi, pardon me if I am suspect of your sincerity, Nancy.
You talk about backstabbing and double speak. Mm. You do a press conference an hour before you meet at the White House, and you say basically the president is corrupt. He needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and we're going to go meet with him about passing legislation.
Yeah.
He's involved in a cover-up.
Yeah, a cover-up.
And he's committed impeachable offenses, right?
Yeah.
Look, all credit to the president here, because in the past we've had some Republican presidents who would just kind of laugh it off, right, and wouldn't take this too seriously. I think playing hardball is the only way to get the Democrats' attention. It's outrageous that Nancy Pelosi would stand up and say there was a cover-up and then go to the Oval, you know, then go to the White House and think it's going to be business as usual. Well, not anymore. So good for Mr. Trump.
You know, almost everything the Democrats accuse the president of, they themselves engage in openly. For example, they will say, well, President Trump is rude or unhinged or not the kind of person you can work with or whatever like that, and then they go out and you accuse the president of a cover-up on what? Don't even know. I don't know, he covered up something. And that's just, that's to borrow a cliche, LOL. And then you have Nancy Pelosi and then Reverend Schumer acts so righteous. Yes. That was just, it was appalling what happened at the White House. Well, maybe it was appalling that you just accused the president of being a criminal, mm-hmm. and now you want to talk business, and he's not in the mood to anymore. That's how about that?
Yes.
So I don't, you know, I don't blame the president. I'm glad I did that. The nation's business goes on, but what he's saying now is I'm not going to negotiate with these people that basically just call me a liar and a covering up. When you say somebody covers something up, you're saying he committed criminal acts basically, mm-hmm. and he's covering it up.
Yeah,
and he's a slime ball.
Yeah, President Trump made a good choice. I wouldn't sign any legislation. I would not sign any legislation. I would put all legislation signatures on halt until they shut down these investigations.
Yeah. Well,
that's what he said. Yeah, that's what he's going to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Well, and she didn't say we suspect a cover up. She said there's a cover up. I would
right.
I would not sit down with Nancy Pelosi again until you declare to the nation
right.
what am I covering up? Go ahead. Declare to the nation, because apparently, yeah. as I just said a moment ago, there are Democrat Congress members of Congress who don't know what Nancy's
talking
about.
Here's what I'd do. I'd say, hey, Nancy, I'm about to go out in the Rose Garden. I want you to come out there with me.
Yep.
Because I'm gonna let you tell the world right here what I'm covering up, and then I'll have a chance to respond. But I want you to have the microphone.
That's right. Huh? Do it. Call her on it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Donald Trump Jr. was on Fox and Friends this morning responding to what happened to his dad yesterday. Cut number 6.
The reality is the Democrats, they're not dealing in good faith. We know that, right? First, it was collusion. That failed miserably. Then it was obstruction. Now the newest soundbite is it's a cover-up. Well, if there was none of the other things, what exactly are you covering up?
Right.
I mean, you know, they're upset that he's upset that they perpetrated the greatest hoax on the American people in the history of this country. And so you can't deal with someone like that. You can't say, well, we're going to deal with infrastructure, but meanwhile, we're impeaching you while this is going on.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Donald Trump.
Sounded like Jay Sekulow,
mm-hmm.
didn't it?
Well,
go ahead, Ray.
He's right, isn't he, Tim? That if you're going to say something as definitive as there was a cover-up, are you not morally obligated to say what the cover-up
yes,
was?
You are.
You know.
You are.
So... Nothing to see here, folks. Not yet.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Schumer and Trump both said they were ready to do infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they said?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do infrastructure? What are you doing to infrastructure?
Right.
They just sounded.
Yeah, they want President Trump to pass a $2 trillion package with no way to pay for it. We're going to print that money. Who knows where that's going to go, if it's even going to make it to fill in our potholes. That's what the Democrats want to do, and they want to put in all their pork. But the most baffling thing is that Pelosi's getting paid, I think, $140,000 a year or $180,000. Our congresspeople are getting paid for this. They're getting paid to do nothing. The Democrats get paid an annual salary to go to Washington, pass zero legislation, harass President Trump, do phony investigations, and then use our tax dollars to fly home on the weekends and take extended vacations. So you would think that even Democrat voters would go, hey, Democrats, why don't you pass legislation that you ran on instead of wasting our time on this stuff?
Yeah. I don't know. It's come to the loggerheads, as they say. I'm looking for another word to use. I don't think that they're going to. Much is going to get done, if anything, until the election. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be
right.
the next big thing. And the Democrats also are not going to want to do anything that may be seen that President Trump could take credit for.
Even infrastructure?
Yeah, even infrastructure.
Yeah.
If he were able to get a bill passed and he signed it, then he could say, well, we passed this and I've signed it and we're glad to be doing this.
Congress could stay at home and our country wouldn't know the difference. They could all go home. And we wouldn't miss a beat. As long as you pass spending bills to fund the government operations and the military, other than
right.
that, you wouldn't miss a beat.
Kellyanne Conway, remember I said I wish I was in that room yesterday? Kellyanne Conway was.
With the Nancy Chuck and
yes.
President Trump.
She just gave an interview on Fox, and we got a little portion of it. She's going to describe to you exactly what happened in that room yesterday. Have a listen to this.
All these ridiculous stories. The president was in a rage. He's fuming. He stormed out. Temper tantrum. There was none of that. He actually never raised his voice. He came in, stood at the end of the table in the cabinet room outside the Oval and said, look, folks, I want to do infrastructure. I want to do great things for this country. We've been doing great things for this country. But within the last hour, you had a meeting and came out and said I'm engaged in a cover-up. That's not true. But he took the case directly to Nancy Pelosi because she was the one who came to the mics and said that the president was engaged in a cover-up, which is nonsense. All she had to do was either move her meeting to later in the afternoon with her caucus, where she's under enormous pressure to get on with impeaching the president, which she has said she doesn't want to do right now. Or she could have said, I'm not going to talk to you right now. We're on our way to the White House to work on infrastructure. Let's meet again at 2 or 3 o'clock, and I'll give you the rundown of the whole day.
So, yeah, that's the way the meeting unfolded there, and as we've been talking about, I don't know whether the president had any choice to do anything else yesterday.
Yeah, this is bad. Mm-hmm. It's a bad deal we got going on right now in Washington, D.C. By that, I mean, I don't ever remember it being so toxic. I can't remember a time when it's been this way where, I mean, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, two Irishmen there, they could work things out.
That's right.
You know, and so, but now it's a different time. This is not your grandpa's Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Is it, Ray?
Well, you've got the Democrats moving as fast as they can to the left.
Right.
It's with every passing day, it's who can go further, who can lead the pack closer to the cliff and just go all the way over. So what is the president supposed to do?
Right.
I really like the idea of him standing up, calling their bluff and saying, look, we're not signing legislation as long as you accuse me of a cover-up, which you won't even identify.
Yeah. And
I think the American public is going to support the president on this.
And keep in mind, folks, too, that the president has tried to do something as much as he can about controlling our southern border. Mm. We see these caravans coming up, these people coming in by the tens of hundreds of thousands over the course of a year. I don't know how many come in over the course of a year. They're coming in and they're being, they're just coming into our country. So we have a crisis on the border, and the president's tried to do something about it. And remember, the Democrats have said, no, we're not going to do anything to stop these people from coming in, and we're not going to let you do anything to stop this mass this problem of mass illegal immigration into our country. In fact, we're going to say to you, President Trump, you're lying about this. This isn't even a crisis at all. It's manufactured. So, you know, I've seen these pictures and these videos, these daily reports. Now, sometimes you have to look to find them. But when you have our border patrol, and these folks who are responsible for handling these people who are coming into our country illegally, and we've run out of space. We don't even have beds to house these people anymore. And the charities that help take care of these people are flooded. They're having to bus, as I understand it, mm-hmm. bus and airplane people, fly people, I should say, mm-hmm. to different parts of the country now. And my point is, and the Democrats say, no, it's not even a problem. It's not even a crisis. We're not even going to give it any attention. Mm-hmm. And so when if you put yourself in President Trump's, he doesn't always react the way I think would be helpful, okay, or should, in my estimation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're him, if you're President Trump, and you get this every day, all day, from the media and from the Democrats, and President Obama's trying to take credit for the economy, and Biden's out there doing the same thing. You can see how he would say, you know what, I've had enough. I'm not going to deal with you people anymore. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means, I'm not going to the Democrats. I'm talking about specifically. I'm not going to deal with you guys anymore right now. So anyway, You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I could see how he would feel and his administration. Ben Carson, we talk about that later. He's getting the raw deal.
Well, we can talk about that right now.
Okay. Let me tell that Walker. We failed to mention how people can follow the show.
Yeah, Facebook and YouTube are the two places to watch the show, Facebook and YouTube. And then, of course, you can visit our website, AFR.net, and you can listen live and catch past shows on our website, AFR.net.
Dr. Ben Carson, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant surgeon, who has retired from that and is now in politics. In fact, he is the country's secretary, HUD secretary, that's Housing and Urban Development. Well, he was before the Democrat-controlled House Financial Services Committee yesterday and was being questioned about HUD not doing enough to acquire housing for people who are in the country illegally. Now, the Democrat you're going to hear is Carolyn Maloney. She's a Democrat from New York. Listen to the line of questioning to Dr. Ben Carson from Congresswoman Maloney. Cut number one.
You're going to pick one American citizen over another. Children are American citizens. They are legal. And what is your plan to take care of them?
If you read the rule carefully, you will see that it provides a six-month deferral on request if they have not found another place to live, and that can be renewed two times for a total of 18 months, which is plenty of time for Congress to engage in comprehensive immigration reform so that this becomes a moot point, as does the DACA situation and 100 other things.
What?
Well, there you go.
Hey, that was a good answer.
That was a very good answer.
what she
was talking about there, what happens if you a couple of illegals in the country have a child, and the child is an American citizen, yet you're looking at the parents who are in the country illegally, and you're saying you're going to delay giving them housing. He was trying to say to her, that's the rules. Now, if Congress wants to change things, Congress should do that. But I think what he was saying at the end there, Congress ain't doing much these days.
Wow. Democrats are concerned about providing illegal immigrants housing on our tax dollar.
Yes.
We have 50,000 veterans on the streets of L.A.
Yes.
But we need to provide housing for illegal immigrants.
Yes. Yes.
Well, isn't the bottom line on all this, guys? We all agree the immigration, our process, it's a broken system. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before. Who can fix that? That's not something President Trump can fix. It's not something Dr. Carson can fix. The only people who can fix it are the folks in Congress, and they are doing flat nothing about it.
Yeah, I wish I didn't feel this way, but I think this issue would have to reach wherever critical mass is. Mm-hmm. It's going to have to make it there in order for anything to get done with stopping this massive illegal immigration into our country, because the Democrats in particular, maybe the Republicans, some Republicans for other reasons, but the Democrats in particular, they don't want to do anything to stop people from coming here illegally. In fact, one of their presidential candidates, the senator from New York, what's her name? Gillibrand?
Gillibrand.
She said a couple of days ago, she said, I'm not for detaining anybody. Mm-hmm. That was the furthest I'd heard any of the Democratic candidates go. Beto O'Rourke, who's fading fast, he says no walls at all. Walls are immoral. This is what Nancy Pelosi has said. So the Democrats are saying now, and they're getting more bold about it, that you say, well, you're not for any kind of border walls or border control, and they go, so what? Mm-hmm. So they feel like it's a political winner for them to be for no borders and no control of illegal immigration into our country. And one more thought on that when we get back from the break. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers
the impulse drive.
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I'm asked often what my favorite part of the Holy Land tour is. And that's like choosing between your children, right? That's very hard to pick just one place to see or to visit that's the most special. But to me, it's the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, I guess, is number one. That's just a very special day because you know that's exactly where Jesus was, the Sea of Galilee. We're seeing the same terrain that Jesus saw. But there's so much more to our visit to the Holy Land, our trip there in March 2020. We'll go to Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Jericho, Nazareth, and on and on. If you want more information on the tour to Israel, go to twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. President Trump says enough. That story coming up. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's Liberty. There comes a time in a man's life when he says enough is enough. For more than 2 years now, President Trump has been bullied and badgered, his character maligned. He's been accused of heinous behavior. He's been accused of being a traitor. And when the Democrats in the deep state realized they could not take down the president, they turned on his children, a government weaponized to wage a secret campaign to sabotage the president. And when he won the White House, they tried to stage a coup. They tried to overthrow a duly elected president. He was investigated for 2 years and finally vindicated. No collusion, no treason. President Trump has a right to defend himself. He has a right to defend his family. There's a time and a season to be righteously indignant. And for the president, that time is now. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray, we thank you for listening. You want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. We were discussing the contention between the president and namely Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer's the Senate Minority Leader and Nancy Pelosi's the Speaker of the House. And Nancy Pelosi today, was it today or yesterday? It was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Accused the president of covering up, I guess, crimes.
And now, just a few minutes ago, she says President Trump wants us to be on a path to impeachment.
Okay. So, you're saying he wants to be impeached?
He wants to be impeached, yeah.
Again, evidence? Do we need any? Why would he want to be? Anyway, all right, figure her out. I don't know. But back to the situation with the border, you said, will anything be done? And as I said, the president has tried to do
everything.
Mm-hmm. He's tried to do a lot, and there even and some Republicans, to reform the immigration process. But the Democrats don't want to do anything.
Nope.
And it's harming our country, and it's going to have long-term implications. But, Ray, I would like you to respond to this. the idea that they don't want border walls at all, they don't want borders.
You know, that's a terrifying thought. If you do not have a border, you don't have a country, right? If anybody can come in anytime they want, under any pretense, in any circumstance, what does citizenship even mean? How do you enforce the laws when you have no border security at all? Which, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but I'm wondering if that won't be part of the Democrat platform in 2020, that they want the walls gone and they want open borders.
That's a good point. Here, by reaching critical mass, and I mentioned this before, and God forbid that this would happen, but I'll give you a scenario. I know we got other stories to cover here, but I'll give you a scenario where critical mass could be reached pretty quickly. That is to say, force the issue, okay, on the Democrats. If you were to have terrorists come in to our country and blow up a building in Houston, in Dallas, in San Antonio, you know, in a 9/11 type attack, then, and they was found out that they came over the southern border, you know, then you would probably have a lot of Americans outraged and turn, I'm talking about Democrats, maybe, who would turn on them to say, no, we got to do something to secure our southern border. Yep. Short of that, I don't know, because the Democrats are counting on these people ultimately becoming citizens and turning America into a socialist state. That's what they want.
Yeah.
That's what they desire.
And your scenario just painted is not pie in the sky stuff, because we know people from the Middle East have been identified amongst those who are coming through our southern border.
Sure they are. Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
They're paying thousands of dollars to come from Pakistan and other countries.
Yeah.
We have a system overload already in place. A system overload meaning our Border Patrol, they're working overtime. Mm-hmm. They're spending more time changing diapers and making sandwiches than they are actually enforcing our laws. And we're dropping hundreds off in cities across the country with nowhere to stay. Nowhere to stay. What does that create? Homelessness.
Yep.
And it's a burden on the system. So, you know, the critical mass is going to be when you look out of your house window and you've got 1,000 illegal immigrants camping out in your city.
If you send them all to California, which I've been an advocate of.
Right.
By the way, you said 50,000 veterans homeless in L.A. You meant to say 50,000 total.
Yes. I think there's about 10,000 homeless vets in L.A. County. But overall, the homeless population is 55,000. Yeah. In general, in just L.A. County.
If you were to open up the border in California, in San Diego, tear down the wall, folks, don't email me about this because I've thought this through, but I'm 75% convinced that this is the right thing to do, but there's 25% of my argument that I don't even know if I'm right about. So I understand that, okay? You ever been there, Ray?
Been there many times.
Okay, but if you were to... You know, what's a biblical story about if the people want meat, I'll give them all the meat they want, right?
Oh, right.
Complaining about manna?
Yeah, right.
Children of Israel, right?
Right, I'll give it to you till it makes you sick.
Okay. If you were able to funnel all these illegal immigrants, and listen, folks, I know these are human beings. They're not cattle. Many of them are desperate. They're coming here from Central America. And they should be treated humanely. Don't misunderstand me. You know, at the same time, they're breaking into our country illegally, and they don't care by the mass, and they're coming here in too many for us to absorb and take in. And where does it stop? We're going to take all of Guatemala? We're going to take all of Honduras? Not to mention the people who are coming here illegally from Mexico. As Ray said, if you don't have borders, you don't have a country. So don't tell me that I don't care about these people's conditions. Now, if we were to what was the part of my argument that I was
about California?
Oh, okay. If you could funnel all these illegal immigrants to California, just tear down the border in San Diego, and you say to anybody and everybody in the world who wants to come, y'all come, just come to the Tijuana, San Diego. We're taking down ICE. We're taking down border control. We're taking down the walls. We're leaving. The federal government is just going to leave this completely wide open. And what we're saying is, if you stay in California, we will not deport you. Mm-hmm. Okay? Here's where I'm going with this. While California is a sanctuary state, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then if you were to flood California with a couple of million people illegally, and they're the people who say, let them all in, they will become the biggest proponents of a border wall mm-hmm. within 6 months to a year because the citizens of California would demand it.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The citizens, they would say, whoa, just a minute. We can't handle all these people. Mm-hmm. We don't have anywhere to put them. Look at them. They're sleeping in our streets. They would all of a sudden become bigots and xenophobes.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's sure. only because you don't have to deal with the real life consequences of the ideas you believe in that you can actually throw onto your opponents the fact that you're against brown people. You don't like Mexicans or Central Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you were at flood, then you would see the citizens of California, the most, quote, progressive in America, almost, they would become very conservative pretty quick.
Yeah, just like one example of this was when President Trump suggested he would send the illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities.
Yes.
A smaller example of what you're talking about. Well, guess what half of them did? Some of them said, we'll take them. The rest of the mayor said, oh, no, we can't handle this. Our system can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Our local system can't handle it. So that's a prime example.
Yeah.
I would add one thing to your plan.
Yes.
I would give them, all of these folks coming across the border illegally, the home addresses of all the Democrats. And start with Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco.
You mean you can drop by and camp out in her backyard?
Because she wants to feed you. She wants to take care of you.
The problem with so many of these liberal / progressive politicians is they live behind gated communities with security guards.
Mm-hmm.
And they drive limousines or have people take them somewhere. Mm-hmm. They don't have to live in the quote real world. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
All right. Just a few hours ago in Terre Haute, Indiana, John Walker Lynn, 38 years old. You may not know who he is, but you may know his tag name, American Taliban. All right. This is a guy that was arrested back in late 2001. Because what happened was that he was radicalized, as they say. He became a terrorist sympathizer. He went to Afghanistan, first to Pakistan, then to Afghanistan. He joined the Taliban. In fact, on the day 9/11 occurred in New York, he was with Osama bin Laden. He was arrested a few months after 9/11 in a camp area where other Taliban members were being interrogated, and the Taliban attacked that area and killed an American, Johnny Michael Mike Spann. John Walker Lynn was arrested, and he was, now you ready for this, he was sentenced to 20 years in prison, all right, for helping terrorists kill Americans. He got 20 years. He got out early today for good behavior. There is outrage well beyond the Spann family. Listen, he got out despite the fact that in 2017, when he's sitting there in prison, Foreign Policy magazine cited a National Counterterrorism Center report that Lynn, quote, continued to advocate for global jihad and to write and translate violent extremist texts. He's doing this in prison. He wrote in 2015 that the Islamic State is doing a spectacular job. The current Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, was head of the CIA when this guy was arrested. He was on Fox yesterday to give his reaction to the release of this terrorist sympathizer. Cut number 7.
unexplainable and unconscionable. I led the CIA. Johnny Michael Spann was one of ours.
Yeah, yeah. He's
on the wall. He's a man of enormous integrity and courage. And we're now allowing someone who was involved in his death out of jail after what is a relatively short sentence. I recall a review of our processes, all the things that went into this day where he's being allowed out early. I think we need to review it all. He still, as I understand it, still is threatening the United States of America and still committed to the very jihad that he engaged in that killed a great American and a great CIA officer. There's something deeply troubling and wrong
openly
about this.
Still,
we sentenced people to life in prison for drug charges.
When was he arrested again?
In 2001. Late 2001.
So he's been there 18 years?
Yep. Let him out early for good behavior, despite the fact, as I just read.
Now, what was his sentence? How long was his
20
sentence?
20 years.
So, but he served 95% of it then, right?
Yeah, he's being.
I agree with your outrage on letting him out a day early. In fact, somebody like him should be, that should be a life sentence right there.
Of course it should be.
Right. He was sentenced to 20 years. He served. He's going to. Another thing, one of the big things you're talking about there in that report, he's not renounced.
Oh no,
he's still a radical.
Sure,
right. Still a terrorist.
Yeah,
should have been in for life.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, each Thursday, most Thursdays when he's available, our good friend Dr. Alex McFarland joins us. And we never know exactly what we're going to talk about here when Alex joins us on the program. That's not all Alex's fault, if you want to call it a fault. Alex, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's good to be with you.
Where are you today?
I am in the wonderful state of Texas, where I spoke in a high school and several churches. And actually this morning got to address the staff of a hospital. And I will say this, here in Texas, there are hundreds of wonderful, wonderful people that listen to AFR.
Hey, how do you sound like you're sitting in the studio with us? People might ask. Do you have a machine carry with you?
Yeah, AFR issued me this wonderful device called a Comrex, and it's a kind of a computer. Folks, if you ever see the high school football game on TV, there's one of these involved. It's a little box that allows me to. It's way better than a cell phone, I'll tell you that.
Hey, so you're traveling the country. How many churches, let me ask you this, how many speaking engagements do you have a year?
Would you believe, and I give God the glory, for 20 years I have averaged about 175 cities a year.
Yeah, and you just go? I mean, obviously you just go. I mean, how do people, what do you go and talk about?
You know, the Lord did a couple of things in my life. You know, I was traveling speaking on apologetics, and almost 20 years ago, I got a job with a man named James Dobson, and that made my phone ring a little bit. But then 10 years ago, a gentleman named Tim Wildman put me on the radio, and that's when things really changed. And I've been in churches, high schools, universities, jails, prisons, auditoriums, and, you know, exploring the Word enables me to be an evangelist because, you know, people ask me, how do you get invited so many places to preach? I have a marketing program called Exploring the Word.
Well, amen, brother. Well, we're happy to have you as part of our network, and I know Bert Harper and you, you know, take your program in the afternoons, exploring the Word very seriously. You study, you get ready, you pray, and then you communicate. You communicate what God wants you to communicate through that program, and you're reaching a lot of people. Hey, I wanted to talk to you for just a minute, and Ray can chime in here. Fred, I know I'm interested when I see these stories, and we're seeing them, you know, every few weeks now. Alex, out of the Middle East, in particular, out of Israel, regarding antiquities. Regarding things that are being recovered through excavations and isn't that what you call them? Archaeological digs and those kinds of things, and they always confirm the Bible, you know, the history of the Bible. That's what I was going to ask you about in particular. I'm asking you a question I know the answer to before I ask it, but still, flesh it out a little bit. Why do you believe that the Bible is historically accurate?
Oh, great question. I believe the Bible is historically accurate because of the people and places and events that it references, all of which have been shown to be true and factual. In fact, one of the founders of modern archaeology was a man named Nelson Gleck, and he said, no archaeological discovery has ever controverted a biblical reference. And, you know, this is an amazing statement, but you're right. And another writer, William F. Albright, said, with every turn of the archaeologist's spade, another page of Scripture has been verified.
So, Alex, when we look at the Bible, the Old and New Testament, and we're studying archaeology, is it right to say archaeology proves that the Bible is true, or archaeology supports the truth of the Bible? What's the right way to frame the importance of what they're digging up all across the Middle East?
I think a good word would be confirms. You know, the word proof is thrown around a lot, but, you know, there are different kinds of proofs. And when you're talking about matters of history, you're talking about things that happened in the past. Professional historians have a number of ways they try to verify, you know, is it likely that something did or did not happen? Now, proving statistically, it's really what's called the preponderance of evidence, or beyond a reasonable doubt. Beyond a reasonable doubt is just like 51%, but, you know, proof is confirming that something really, really happened. You know, you might have seen about a year ago in the news, there was they found a shard of clay that had the name Isaiah, that archaeologists are pretty convinced is the signature of the prophet Isaiah. When I was in Israel last, we got to visit the tomb of Samuel. And Bird and I are in the book of Judges right now, and the first judge was Othniel. And there is, in an area called Ashkelon, the tomb of the judge Othniel. And so everything from the Pool of Siloam to the town of Capernaum, I mean, over and over, archaeology does absolutely confirm what we read in the Bible.
Well, you know, I'm reading through the Old Testament now. My wife and I are actually, we're listening. I don't know if is that cheating?
No.
I don't think it's cheating.
No.
It's called
It's the word.
Faith comes by hearing, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're going through the Bible. We're in we just finished Job. But we're to that point, about to head into Psalms. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm not gonna lie to you. Job wore me out.
Tough.
Huh? Listening to Job at 11 o'clock at night is not very inspirational. At least it wasn't for me. I will say this: there is a purpose and a meaning for the book of Job, sure. And I understand that, but it's hard to listen to sometimes. Now, but what I'm saying is, as I go through, even in Genesis all the way up, as I listen through the scriptures, I'm starting to hear more and more towns that I know, because I visited Israel so often, that I've been there. And so, for example, Beth Shan is mentioned in the Bible several times, in the Old Testament several times. So thousands of years ago, there was this place called Beth Shan. Well, you can go there today and visit the ruins from the Roman period.
Mm-hmm.
So Megiddo is mentioned. Well, you can go and visit Megiddo today. And other places, Jerusalem obviously is mentioned way back in the Old Testament. Well, Jerusalem is still in existence today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Ray, as you look through the scriptures, and you just look at people would say, "How do you believe the Bible? Why do you trust the Bible?" Well, you know, I would almost ask, "Well, how do you deny the Bible, Ray?" When you look at what some of the things that Alex has mentioned, that I've mentioned just now, you look at the existence of the Jewish people, even to this day,
Amen.
These are the same people that go back thousands of years.
Well, I think the point that Alex is making is so important.
I made a pretty good point, too.
yes, especially the part about the book of Job. We all got to go back and read it now, right?
Yes.
But I mean, we understand there's some parts of the Bible more challenging to get through than others. But, you know, Tim, I think what we can say is just what Alex said, that when you read your Bible, you can have total confidence that what you're reading is not simply the words of some man writing thousands of years ago, but that the Bible that has come down to us is historically true, it's geographically true, it's spiritually true, it actually is the Word of God.
Amen.
Mm. Amen. And, go ahead,
you
Alex.
Know, I think about this. Some things that have been excavated, verified, that skeptics once doubted. The city of Jericho, they thought it was a myth. Well, they've excavated it. The city of Nineveh, Babylon, you mentioned Megiddo, and so many other things. From the time of Nehemiah, there was reference to Sanballat and Tobiah. And there was a time in the 18th and 19th century, skeptics thought that these were made-up names. There were never anybody like that, they thought. But then there was a discovery of something called the Zeno Papyri and the Elephantine Papyri, both dated within 40 years of the time of Nehemiah, that reference Sanballat, governor of Samaria, Tobiah, governor of Ammon, and on we could go.
Yeah.
What's so exciting is you can go there and see this. And, yeah. Tim, I know you lead tours to the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
I mean,
I do. Mm-hmm.
I talked to an Islamic archaeologist. He was so enthusiastically showing me the Pool of Siloam. I said, you're a believer? He's like, no, I'm a Muslim. He said, but Jesus Christ stood here. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's compelling.
Elephantine, what did you say? Papyri.
Two documents that were from the time of Nehemiah that reference Sanballat and Tobiah. And this is during the time of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem.
Elephantine papyri. Well, it's also on the menu at Olive Garden, though.
indeed.
If you go there, you can order it. No, just kidding. Hey, Alex, thanks so much, brother, for your time. What are you in? You said you and Bert this afternoon will be in the book of Judges?
In the book of Judges, Judges chapter 5. Yesterday we just finished Deborah and Barak, and we're going to move into Judges 5.
Okay. So join Alex and Bert this afternoon on the program. It's a live Bible study. Only our Bible study.
Yeah. We go through the scripture, and then we take live calls and Bible questions. I got to tell you all this quick.
Go ahead. Texas. Got 1 minute.
Last night, First Baptist, Cuero, Texas. Just so many people there, and people coming up and tearfully telling what God has done in their life through exploring the Word, and we give God the glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Alex. Talk to you next time.
Bless you.
That's Dr. Alex McFarland joining us from somewhere in Texas. the brother travels the country sharing the Word of God and is on the air each afternoon. So if you want to hear the show he was talking about, it's this afternoon. I know many of you are fans of this, Exploring the Word, and you already know about this, but maybe you're new to AFR. It's a unique program that we have on American Family Radio, a live, on-air Bible study, and they take calls. So it's this afternoon at 3:05 Central, each weekday afternoon at 3:05 Central Time. 3:05 Central Time here on American Family Radio. Well, we're out of time. Fred, thank you, my brother.
Always good to be here.
Walker and I will be back with Steve Jordahl, and Ray will stay with us. So we will be back in 5 minutes after the news. You're listening to American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.